What's up, people? Welcome to another episode of The Essential 11, brought to you by Acton Academy Placer, and ApogeeStrong.com. Today's guest was in-house. It was cool. It was a buddy of mine that I've gotten to know for quite a while, and his wife has been a part of everything we're doing here at Acton Placer here for the last few years. So Jason Dries is a professional coach. Website says he is catalyst, game changer, multiple business owner, mindset transformation specialist. Rad stuff, man. I mean, really, we just got into some cool stuff. He's somebody we would definitely have back again, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it with Mr. Jason Dries. So this is what's cool about having it live, dude. Like in person.
I've been on podcasts, but not like in person before.
I mean, I'm grateful to get to do what we get to do, but having it like this, is rad.
This is cool.
Like, this is the way to go, man. I was talking to, we're talking about Austin, Texas, right here, and I was talking to Tim earlier, and do you remember Don Fry? Do you remember that guy? Old school UFC guy, one of the original OGs.
Yeah.
He's starting up a podcast, and he's all gravelly voiced, man. He's going to do some stuff for Apogee and some things we're doing. He's like, everything's gonna be on site, man. When this virtual, I don't know how to do this virtual stuff on site. I'm like, dude, Don, I don't blame you. Anyways, man, this is better. Yeah. So thanks for coming, dude.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, glad to do it. Let's just chat about kind of what you're doing. You're moving to Austin, and that's cool, but you got a lot of rad stuff going on business wise. You're like this undercover superstar, you know? I think I told you at the party last time I saw you when we had one of our parents was here and was talking about, you know, Bigger Pockets. And he's talking about Brandon. And Brandon, he's like, and Brandon has this coach, man. He's like, this coach, dude, he's just this rad dude. And he's like, Dries is his last name. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Jason. He's like, yeah, you know who that is? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, come here, man. Let me show you something.
Yeah.
I was like, there's his son. And there's his son. He's like, what? And I'm like, and there's his wife. And he's like, this place just keeps getting better and better. That guy's amazing. I'm like, that guy is amazing. So we got to have him in here to chat. So, yeah, talk about the stuff you got going on, man.
What am I doing, right? I think of the simple way of what I do. I'm exploring what's possible, right? Exploring possibility.
Yeah.
Getting out of my own way. Shaping reality. And it's what I teach people now is basically what I've done.
Yeah.
What I've done. So I've been on this personal growth journey for, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad in 2003.
Yeah.
And chased money for a long time, like over a decade. But now I'm a performance coach. I've been coaching for almost 8 years now, probably 6,000 hours of one-on-one coaching.
Yep.
And in the past 120 days, I just had an acceleration.
Yeah.
4 months ago, I was the only person at Jason Dries Coaching.
Yeah.
One email address.
Yeah.
Today, I made email address number 20.
That's awesome. That's for your team.
4 months. Yeah. So I'm basically coaching full time. I got a team of like 11 coaches on my team now working for me. And we do mindset coaching. Yep. And we basically help people just get what they want and get out of their own way.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it, man, is get out of your own way. Exploring what's possible. Because everybody has this concept that what's possible is different because it's based on all the things that have happened to you. Right? It's all these things. They tell themselves this story. So, because this happened to me, what's possible for me is different than what's possible for you. You had a better scenario than I did, right? And people use that kind of garbage and that kind of nonsense, right, to limit what's possible. So you're kind of getting people out of their own way.
Yeah, it's been an evolution. I started coaching in Tony Robbins in 2013 and coached under that model. And when that model, I was, I actually went to work for Tony Robbins because I was like, I had started two companies by then and was chasing money and had a full-time job. And I'm like, okay, well, if I become a coach like Tony, I could learn how to be successful.
Yeah.
And I learned how to be crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the way I interpreted that content was go, 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 go at elevated peak state all the time.
Yeah.
Which makes you crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the way I used to do it. And I literally pushed and pushed and pushed and was doing like 40 minutes of incantations every single day. And just like, and then finally, the funny thing is everything just fell apart, stopped working, and I gave up.
So what do you mean it stopped working? So it stopped working for stopped working for your clients?
Like I started, I had a business and I was like goal setting and I was focusing on it and breaking down goals and doing this and focusing. And no matter how hard I pushed, it wouldn't work.
It wasn't doing it.
Wouldn't work. And I literally hit a wall and I gave up and I quit and I cried. And, you know, I've had a couple times where I've had my business fail and I cried, you know?
Yeah.
And this was like business number five. And I knew I would always be coaching, but it was in that I had this process of like, there was a previous coaching company I had started working with a couple other guys I know, and me and a salesperson were doing, looking for leads.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, you know, I was a really pretty amazing coach then. I had, you know, 4,000 hours of coaching experience, high level business coach, performance coach. And in 5 months, we didn't close one contract.
Hmm.
5 months. I was like, what? How could we be lead generating 5 months? And I literally just gave up. And then the next 3 weeks, I had three contracts come in on referral.
Because your headspace had changed.
And it was me deciphering what had happened there is what I've figured out how to do now.
Yeah.
But basically, I had been trying to force life in a specific way so much, and it wasn't destined to work that way, so it didn't work. And when I gave up, I actually have clients where I tell them, your homework is to quit. Because
by quit meaning whatever you're doing, your job, whatever you're doing. Period.
Because if you look at the way life works, wanting is actually the state of the lack of it.
Yeah, right?
Wanting is the lack of it.
Right.
We live in an attraction-based universe.
Yeah.
And I don't like to use the word law of attraction because I imagine these like guys in sarongs sitting under trees with their hands out, right?
Yeah, totally.
But what we don't realize is that when your mindset creates, well, our bodies are made of atoms.
Yeah.
They're not solid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? 99.999% free space.
Yeah.
So our bodies aren't solid. Your mindset can change, shapes the vibrational frequency of your being, which interacts with the quantum field, which determines which version of reality you experience. And your mindset also dictates the thoughts you think, the emotions you have, the ideas, the motivation. Like, so mindset is the simple way to think about you, but you create everything. So far too often, people are in a mindset that is out of alignment. So it doesn't matter what you do, it's never going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, I've figured out how to get out of unalignment and evolve into your ideal alignment. And when you follow your natural path you're supposed to be on in life, that's where you hit 5x, 10x, 20x results with flow and ease.
And things just start happening.
Yeah, I 10x my revenue last year.
Yeah.
10x.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's, there's so much in that altogether. And just the physio, I mean, I just, this is like, somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, they're like, okay, if you go back again, would you go, if you go back and start everything, you know, 20 years ago, would you go into education again? And I said, absolutely, I would. I don't know if I would go about it through the same route. I don't know if I would still go the, you know, the university to the public school, to the private school, to now owning schools, to now start. Like, I don't know if I would go necessarily that route. I like the thought of really diving into what is possible around the mind and then educating through that, whether it's through coaching, whether it's back in working with kids. Like, I love that concept, you know, and I brought this up on the podcast before, but one of my favorite movies is, as much as I'm sure there's flaws in it, is Split. Right. I don't know if you've seen that movie at all, but
I don't,
it was
think
an
so.
M. Night, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, the guy that signs and all that kind of stuff.
I saw the one before that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So Split, you know, this concept of this guy that has multiple personalities and dissociative identity disorder. And that, when I saw that, brought me down this rabbit hole of DID and how that plays into the actual physiology of the human.
Yeah.
And how it shifts depending on what personality they have.
Yeah.
That alone speaks exactly to what you're talking about right there. That person all of a sudden switches out, believes they are quite literally somebody else, a different identity. And their entire physiology changes down to allergic reaction versus non-allergic reaction.
And eye color too, right?
Yeah. Eye color, right? Yeah. Like, documented changes.
Yeah.
Document. Somebody speaking in a British accent versus a Texas accent.
Yeah.
Based on which personality?
Yeah.
That's speaking directly to what you're saying as far as the power of the mind.
It is. And the biggest problem that we have is that And I'm actually writing a book right now. And one of the first chapters is why you've got it all backwards.
Mm.
Because especially for entrepreneurs and business owners and everybody trying to make money, if they're not at the right level, everybody's chasing strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what people don't realize is the strategies that you can think of or execute on mm-hmm. are contained within the mindset you're operating from. Mm-hmm. It's a frequency. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a mindset that is not in alignment with the target, you'll never be able to hit the target mm-hmm. ever. Mm. And most people end up aiming too low.
Yeah.
Consistent. I'd say 80% of the people I've coached aim too low. Because this is what I figured out. So when I'm coaching a new client, I ask them, like, what do you want? What's your goal for the next 6 months? They'll give me an answer. And then I'll say, well, what's possible? They'll give me a different answer.
Yeah.
And I'll say, what's impossible? They'll give me an even different answer.
Yeah.
Because when you ask what do they want, that answer is based on past reference.
Yeah.
What is possible is based on external reference.
Yeah.
Right? And what is impossible is based on internal reference.
Got it.
Which is intuition, gut, instinct, excitement. And when you get people aimed at that, the magic just flows.
Yeah.
Like, changes, and that's where everything. Life starts helping you. Because life, you know, whether you call it life or God or the universe, like it will not reward mediocrity.
Yeah.
You gotta play at the level you're supposed to play on.
Yeah. Changes everything. Dude. So God, this is getting me fired up. I guess intentionality around understanding that about my own mindset, but I know I can tap into my own when I have an idea and something is just going to work. I just don't know what level it's going to work at. Like, I know I'm like, oh, this makes sense and this is going to work and I'm going to go ahead and do it. And let's kind of see where it's, I've had that experience.
Yeah.
And I can remember that experience even as a young athlete, right? I can remember in martial arts tournaments. I can remember going in and just knowing like, hey, I'm taking on 5 guys today and I can just feel it today. Like there is nothing, like I'm going to win this tournament. Like I remember having those thoughts. I remember going to open a school going, I know this is going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know to what level. I don't know how many we're going to do. I don't know, but like I know it's there. And man, wouldn't that be cool if we had 100 of them? Wouldn't that be cool? Like I remember some of these things, but how are you getting people to be able to find, you know, I don't want to give away all your stuff that you know, people pay for, but like, how do you get these people to get out of their own way, to start looking at everything they are doing and really start accepting that 10x growth is a possible thing and be able to tap into that consistently?
Well, I'll share with you everything because I don't own it, right? But what we do, you know, from a business perspective, from one-on-one performance coaching, we help people go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And we help them validate, are they aimed at the right point A or point B,
mm.
right? And what you're talking about is you have clear examples of your life when your knowing was bright and center in the loudspeaker.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And there's times you weren't, right?
Right.
Now, you by nature, I know you have an entrepreneur nature.
Yep. Yep.
You're an entrepreneur, part artist, part entrepreneur, right?
Yep.
So following that direction is easier for you.
Yeah, totally.
You know, the big obstacle that everybody has with following their knowing is their social conditioning.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Oh, wait, you're like, I'm like, if you look what I do, I'm a freaking life coach,
right?
And the average life coach in the US makes $35,000 a year, right? Like,
And
when I left my high paying tech job, people said, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But I knew I literally couldn't do anything otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's following that knowing is hard for most people because it contradicts what they think is true and how life works.
Got it. Yeah.
And I also like the concept of known versus unknown. Right, known versus unknown.
Yeah.
So I coach a lot of real estate investors. I'm in the real estate investment community. And,
right.
and so the simple example I can give you about known versus unknown, and this kind of plays into where the 10X stuff starts to come up, is that let's say you've got a person who has a job and they want to get into real estate investing. And they want to do that because they want to, you know, get passive income.
Yeah.
And like, okay, my goal is I want to make $10,000 a month in passive income and I can quit my day job.
Yeah.
Okay. And they read the Brandon Turner books about, you know, $200 a door. Okay. So 50 doors, they'll give me $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
And from today, looking forward, I can plan out a way to buy 50 doors over 5 to 7 years. That's known from the present mindset.
Yeah.
They know how to do that. Okay. Now, that person also knows it's physically possible to generate $10,000 in passive income in 5 to 7 months.
Yeah.
They just don't know how.
They just don't
that's
how
unknown.
Right.
That's unknown, right?
Right.
So it's this, the way that you start moving in the unknown is you need to be in a mindset where it's not just possible, but it's guaranteed and likely.
Yeah.
Because our expectations, which I kind of call your frame, mm-hmm. you're operating in, dictates the reality mm-hmm. and what is and is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people to aim at your known target as best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then have your eyes open looking for the 10x growth, which is going to come from other people,
mm-hmm.
an idea, a new connection, or new opportunity. And most people are trying, and they look yep. at their peer, wait, did this, and they read the book, and they do this, yep. or they watch Gary Vee, and like, Gary, you know Gary, like,
yeah, yeah.
what you probably know is for Gary, grinding is flow.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
For him, it's flow.
Yeah.
Right? But everyone else starts grinding.
And they get to that burnout like you talking about at the beginning.
Yes, because yeah. if you're pushing in resistance, you're not in alignment.
Right.
So you'll never get the target. Right.
right?
So it's about being in alignment and flow so it happens your way.
Yep.
But most people are forcing on the goal so hard, it's going to happen. They literally shut off possibility.
Yeah.
That's yep. why I don't set goals anymore.
Yeah. It makes sense. It makes, I'm relating it to everything that I've been doing even over these last few years. And I can almost dial in specific talks that I gave and specific audiences that I had and specific times where I would go in and almost kind of strategize, okay, I know this is a big client. I want to get more and more, events with this client. My goal, a goal here is to get a standing ovation and this many referrals. And anytime I kind of went at it strategically speaking, I would only get a piece of it, or I wouldn't get get what I was going to. But when I went in just with a whole different thing, just like, man, I'm going to go have so much fun. I love this particular audience. Like, the stage setup is rad. I feel so good right now physically. Like, this is just going to go crush. I mean, it was
Yeah.
standing ovations, multiple yeah. contracts coming out of it, like all of those things that I thought I wanted to strategize around.
Yeah.
It just came.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
So you got four kids.
Four kids. Yeah.
Right. How do you start? I always go back to Frederick Douglass's quote, like, everything I do is, it goes back to that idea of it being easier to build strong children than it is fix broken men. I think that's very, very true. Like, I want to yeah. build my students up. That's everything I do is around building up young people so that we don't have to tear down all this garbage in our brains moving forward. Right.
Yeah.
So do you start looking at it as a parent? Do you start looking at them and going, okay, are you pulling that apart from a parenting perspective? Like, how much does that play into it? What you do and then looking at those creations and like, how much does that cross over for you?
That's a good question. It's funny because professionally what I do is I put them back together.
Right.
Right. That's what I do.
Right.
Right. Right. So like Alexis and I, we kind of have this, the way we parent is different than a lot of other people parent. Our priorities are different.
Yeah.
We don't force school or yeah. homework or yep. diligence or,
Yeah.
And my kids are all still young because my oldest is yeah. 10 right now.
Right.
So a lot of them, I feel like my ability to coach will come in a lot
later
when they're older,
yeah.
because they don't have the language
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
But the number one thing that we focus on is emotional health.
Yeah.
That's a number one priority.
Yeah.
And that's actually something I learned from Alexis, actually, because I didn't really figure it out until she taught me, is mm-hmm. that most people unknowingly, especially parents, invalidate their kids' feelings all the time
mm-hmm.
because your son is running and they or your child and they run and scrape their knee
mm-hmm.
and the emotion comes out and in your intention to soothe.
Yeah.
You say, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's okay is invalidating the emotional experience they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to go into judgment. Right. Like if you had a business and it had a massive failure and you put a year into it and I just said, hey, Matt, it's OK. Did that make you feel OK?
Yeah.
No. Right. So you end up. So our real goal is with our kids is to validate their emotional experience.
Yeah.
And even with Alexis as my wife, like when we're having growth areas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of saying, you made me feel this way, it's like, I'm having this emotional experience and a reaction to this situation.
Yeah.
So our priority from a parenting perspective is creating congruence and trust in the emotional experience.
Got it. That makes sense.
Because that's everything.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So how does your own upbringing play into any of this? Do you think there was anything that in your upbringing, and I ask that in the context of kind of some of these questions that the youth has had too. So like, did you have, you know, I mean, obviously you mentioned working for Tony's company and all that, but did you have any mentors, any, was it, you know, rich dad, poor dad, maybe Kiyosaki kind of became the mentor. Was there anybody else? Was it, you know, parents or anybody else in business, people that kind of brought you down that path? So kind of your own journey into this, any mentors you had, and were you already a confident person? Did you had to build that too? What did that look like for you?
I don't think I was always confident. I've always been bold.
Okay.
I've always been bold.
Yeah.
Like I usually don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I seek their approval because I'm a high I disc profile, right?
Yeah,
so
I
think for, you know, my parents, you know, I was kind of raised where if you want to go to college, go to college. If you don't, you don't.
Right.
You know, we were okay. We didn't have a ton of money. We weren't poor. But I basically had a job since I was 15.
Gotcha.
Worked the whole time.
Yeah.
So I just had desires for more. And I knew if I wanted it, I had to do it myself.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing that kind of shaped
me. Driver. Yeah.
Big driver. The funny thing, that was actually one of the roadblocks to me later on in life, is doing it myself. And I could tell about it in a second, but basically I would say not a ton of mentors, really. You know, Tony Robbins, I started listening to in 2000, 2003, but it was when I got in the coaching environment in 2010, 2011, that's when I started to really kind of evolve.
Yeah. Interesting. So with everything that you have now too, and as you're developing, you know, kind of your mindset to drive everything that you're doing here, is there anything where you find yourself currently, like I still kind of get caught up on this, or I devolve back into old habits, or I still get anxious around this when I'm doing that, and I'm really working on that particular thing. Is there anything really that you're kind of like?
Yeah. Parenting.
Parenting. Yeah.
Parenting.
Yeah.
Parenting. Yeah. Yeah, parenting. You know, and it's my clients all think I'm this like perfect human. I'm like, well, you forget this is a conditioned state that I'm showing you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That I've worked on for years in this present.
Piece of me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an intentional mindset presence that I'm in when I'm working.
Yeah.
Right. I think my big challenge, the thing that triggers me the most is I'm very sensitive to energy.
Yeah.
You call it empathic, intuitive, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my four boys are not low energy.
What? True story.
And sometimes the energy is overwhelming, but it really comes down to me not taking enough space to manage myself. And I work from home too.
Yeah. Totally.
So sometimes I leaving my office isn't necessarily a break.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like diving in.
Yeah.
So I think managing the energy and the growth of all of them. Because I feel everything. I feel all of their emotions. I can't turn it off.
Yep, for sure.
So that's my biggest growth area is parenting, as you know.
For sure. And I relate to that very much too.
I mean,
my wife is, you know, she will be the balance on I can't even go to bed if I know one of my kids was mad at me right before they went to bed. You know, like it eats at me, even if it doesn't matter what it was. Like if they were upset about something. And so, she, you know, she's always like, did you just go in their room? Did you just go in there to bed? I'm like, yeah, man, I had to. Like I just, you know, because I'm the same way. Like it's just their energy. And if they're, you know, if my girls are fighting with each other, it's like it eats away at me. No matter what. So I feel that very much.
Yeah. And they're boys and they're close together. So they fight.
For sure.
And it's hard to
see. It's so hard.
And I have the challenge of almost reading people's emotions multiple layers deep.
For sure.
That they don't even know are there.
For sure. And so do you think that that is also like the blessing and the curse too, right?
It is.
I mean, that's because we feel that. And again, this is something that I feel like we feel that.
Yeah.
But on the positive side,
same.
Like I can go, okay, well, here's what you're, there are people I can just tell you exactly what you're thinking right now. I'll tell you exactly what's going on. Like this is exactly how you're thinking about this. This is exactly what's going on in your head. I do it to my wife all the time and she hates it. I do it to people that, you know, I pay attention, right? And you pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, sometimes, and that's what makes me so effective as a coach is I can't, they can't hide anything from me.
Bingo.
And I'm amazing at like, it's my natural gift to sneak things in their mind. Right.
Yep. Yep.
And with my kids, I'm like, is that something I need to shape or is that just destiny?
Yeah.
And,
totally.
And I can't do anything. Oh, right.
So fun, man.
And it's like two of them. I'm like, that's karma from some other time between those two.
Yeah.
Like, and so my big challenge is I see the mindset that creates the thought. Right? Because what you think about somebody, your general beliefs about them is going to determine the thoughts you're going to have about them. And by nature, I pick up on that belief system.
Yeah.
And so I think what I try to do is I try to reshape that belief system.
Yeah. Get to the foundation, get to the root of it.
But you can't change it unless they want it changed.
That's exactly right.
You can't coach somebody without permission.
That's exactly right. You cannot. I mean, it goes into one of the most amazing things, but one of the most frustrating things about education too is you can only, you know, it's very much the Morpheus side of like, hey, I can open the door, man. That's as far as I can go.
Yeah.
You got to walk through. That's it.
Yeah. Like you have to give them a choice, right?
That's it.
And getting them to take that step is different for everybody.
Yep. 100%. So cool. Okay. So part of your evolution and your growth and as a human, what, if any, does the physical side of that play into for you? So are there physical disciplines? So like, you know, any kind of health disciplines, do you notice a change in your emotions or impact or effect on others when, you know, you're in a certain state where there's physical development too? Like, what does that look like for you too?
I don't have as much physical development as I would probably like, you know? You know, honestly, I'm exercising maybe 30 minutes to 3 or 4 times a week right now.
Yeah.
I bought a water rower.
Which is great. Did you?
Yeah.
Right on.
I love that thing.
Yeah,
it's a hard workout.
They're hard, man. Yeah. That's rad. Our last guest, who we haven't even put out the podcast yet, but he's a rowing world record holder.
Oh, yeah.
In the row.
Oh, cool.
But that's rad.
Yeah, it's fun.
Good workout.
I personally haven't noticed much difference in physical.
Okay.
In my ability. Because I've just always had a really focused, strong mindset.
Yeah.
And through the coaching journey I was on over the past 10 years, like my biggest growth over the past 10 years came from like the coach training that I went through.
Yeah.
And over the past 10 years, that process got me to a point where I don't really have self-judgment anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't second guess myself. I may have wished there were different results.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But the past doesn't stop me anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got over the judgment and things and
and
the putting myself out there and the integration of ego, right? So there's always another level.
Totally.
But over the past 10 years, like that allowed me to be who I am. And who you're seeing now is the me I'm supposed to be after 10 years of
stripping all that, the stuff like that was stripping all that garbage. That's awesome. So stripping, I mean.
Like, let me give you an example.
Please, yeah.
Like, I remember in like 8th grade, we get our yearbooks, right? And I'm like, hey, sign my yearbooks. And I remember like, oh my God, I'm totally me. This is awesome. I was me more than ever this year.
Yeah.
And I go home and I start reading my yearbook and everybody says I'm weird or strange.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, what? Why am I weird? I don't want to be weird. And I remember that's when I'm going into high school and that's when I started shaping my behavior to try to get a different reaction out of other people.
Yeah.
And I literally, I still do it a little bit, but I think, you know, I carried that for 20 years.
Yeah. Yep. And started shaping your behavior to combat against.
To get a different reaction out of other people. Yep. But the reason that only happens is because I wasn't giving myself the self-acknowledgement, self-love that I needed. Yeah. So you seek it externally.
Yeah. This is such a chicken and egg thing for me too, from a psychological standpoint. It's like, were you forced at that point then to also learn how to read people more? Maybe because you were trying to force a different perception of you. So like, did that aid you in the ability to do what you do now? And then, but you had to you know what I mean? Like I start going
down. Develop the skill. Right.
Develop a skill, right? Yeah. So develop that skill of having to watch other people because, you know, I go back into sometimes thinking like, why am I so good at this too? And part of it for me, I believe, is because, you know, I had a dad that was a rough dude to live with and was just a rough guy, period. And so I was always trying to keep the peace because I was always trying to, okay, I'm trying to read him. I'm trying to figure out where he's going to go with this. how do I engage with him in a level that's going to keep him and my mom from fighting? How do I keep my brother out of trouble? How do I get my sister out of trouble? How do I, like, I was constantly as a young person being forced to have to read the room.
Yeah.
You know, and so was because of that trauma, did I gain a skill? But then I also had to try to unwork all the nervous energy around reading a room too, because for me it was a keeping the peace kind of thing. So there was a heightened sense of, like, you know, so like it's a chicken and egg thing, man. And I don't know.
That's like your path.
Yeah.
And as much as we try to change, want the past to be different.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the past was any different, you wouldn't have the present.
Wouldn't have that.
The way it is today.
Yeah.
You know?
So interesting, man. Gosh, so interesting. Yeah. You know, and so that's what I take. I take those thoughts and those conversations into education.
Yeah.
You know, we're really, it's what I love about acting too, is because mm-hmm. we're really taking these young people and we're not just going, we're all doing this right now, same time, same place, same age, same. Yeah. It's all of that garbage. We get out of that and we literally are having to psychoanalyze all of these young people. Where are they now? Why are they thinking that way? Why is their mindset this way? How do we open up these other doors and see if we can get them to walk through? And then how do we do that in a collective of, now there's 25 of them, and understanding those dynamics, mm-hmm. and how is Jason going to react when it's Jason by himself? What about when it's Jason and it's Alexis? What about when it's...
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is, yeah. It's an interesting.
It is, dude. It's so fascinating. Okay, so guys, this is one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite episodes already, dude. I love this stuff. So, let's say you've got. So now you got these coaches, right? You got 11 that you said.
11 coaches. About 11 coaches. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What if somebody listened to this, or we got, you know, there's an acting student somewhere. Mm-hmm. They just graduate from acting. They just graduate high school. They're 18, mm-hmm. and they're like, Jason, dude, this is rad. I love what you're doing. I know you need more coaches.
Yeah.
I'm 18. Can I come work for, because I don't get it as much, but I have gotten quite a few life coaches that have come out, you know, and they're 18.
Yeah.
And they're 19.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, I'd love to be your coach. And I'm like, why are you going to be my coach? Right. So let's say there's an 18-year-old that wants to come to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you look, is that even a possibility in your mind? What are you looking for from that young person? And then that can segue into just what are you looking for in that one of those coaches in general?
Well, that's a future thing for Jason Reese Coaching. Like, we've literally built the business overnight.
Yeah.
You know, went from a solo person to 20 people on the team in 3 months.
Right.
So right now we're basically, I'm getting coaches that I know from my ecosystem.
Totally.
Is Jason Dries going to have a coach training program?
Yeah.
And I would say when that program launches and we're looking for coaches, I'd think how would I do that? I don't know. I haven't really thought about that, but it's really, I think it would start with people who like the content that we do and the content that comes out and those who are absorbing it. Because if you start listening to the content that I'm putting out
and it's resonating,
if you're picking that up and it makes sense, you'll start coaching. The concept of coaching isn't that hard.
Yeah.
Now there are some skills you need to learn and some basic training and structure and stuff like that. But I think people that are coaches are like, they're natural coaches.
They're doing it anyways.
That's who they are.
Yeah. Yep.
The ones that are really good, like, that's just,
it's just in it. It's just a DNA thing.
It's a DNA thing,
man. And that's, you know, and again, that's, there's these parallels. People are, what are you looking for? Like, are you hiring credentialed teachers? And I'm like, that is it's like asking me, are you hiring, you know, when you look for somebody to be a guide, do they have to drive a white car? Like, it's that arbitrary to me. Like, the credential part, it's like, no, man, I'm looking for a DNA thing that I'm not going to find in any other external, whatever. It is a DNA thing. You are naturally somebody who connects with other humans and wants the best for other humans or not. Like, I think that's a big part. You know? I mean, I think it's kind of the same sort of stuff. So are you just kind of naturally picking up on that when you're pulling it? Cause I know these guys are coming from your ecosystem.
I'm feeling a lot. So I like the Tony Robbins model of hiring that I learned was can do, will do, team fit.
Yep.
Can they do the job?
Yep.
Will they do the job?
Yep. They get along with the other boys and girls.
Yep. That's the simple way.
Yep.
I made a key distinction, like, when the business started to grow, that that, because as a coach, one of my thoughts is, okay, I've got more clients than I know what to do with. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Now, how do I make everybody a clone of Jason?
Yeah.
And no matter how many times I thought about that, I made myself crazy trying to come up with a solution to
totally.
That. And then I realized I can't make people a clone of me.
That's right.
And I also realized that you can take 100 people, put them through the exact same coach training, and they're going to be different coaches.
That's right.
So it was in that moment where I made this extremely powerful distinction. Looking back, I see how powerful this was. But the distinction I made was Jason Dries coaching is its own entity.
Yeah.
It's not a big job that I have that I need help doing.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck. Yep. It's like I've made the acknowledgement that Jason Dries Coaching, while it has my name on it, it's its own business, its own entity, and it wants to grow.
Yep.
And at that point, I stepped back energetically and I allowed people to contribute to that.
Yep.
And when I did that, the right people started automatically showing up.
Bingo.
And the people who weren't a fit stood out.
Yep.
Not like a sore thumb, like a wooden leg.
Yeah.
It was like so obvious.
Yeah.
So most, and it was interesting because as I started to reach out to people who I thought would have been great, it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
There's no communication. And all of a sudden these people are showing up who want to be. So I basically shifted my frame that I'm operating from, that I'm working with life and what is life. So I basically look at what is life bringing me. So like when I get cold calls, like I got a cold call on Instagram and that launched my entire Mindset Academy that has like 250 people in it. And that only happened because of a cold call, right? So I basically put more effort into people coming inbound than me going outbound.
That makes sense.
And I follow my gut,
mm-hmm.
right? So I talk to him, have a couple of people on my team talk to him. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I just feel it, you know?
Yep.
I feel it.
I do know. That makes sense. Yeah, almost the Fight Club model of growth.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is.
Yeah, you can feel it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know? That's rad. So is there any part of the business right now that you're having to do or take on where you feel like you haven't, like where you're like almost having to force yourself to do it? Mm-hmm. Or do you feel like you're in a good spot where it's like, no, things are just kind of coming and going as they need to go?
Funny, a little bit of the one-on-one coaching. Is
really?
It's forceful.
Yeah.
Because like 6 months ago, I'm like, oh, I'm a one-on-one coach. This is awesome.
Yep.
But
yep.
the beat needs of the business have radically changed.
Yeah,
for sure. My client load's going down. You know, I'm still at like 36 clients, 37.
Yeah.
But so I'm shifting more to content creation and I need to working with my team more and kind of being more visible in social media and
good
kind
for
of
you.
Pushing outward.
Good for you. That's awesome. One of the questions that people I always like to get, I'm very interested to hear where you go with this. And this can be some people it's like, oh yeah, this is automatic. Some people they have to think about it a little bit, but it's around being kind of counterculture. Right. And so it's around what are some of the pieces of common knowledge. Everybody knows that this is it. Everybody knows this is the truth. But Jason goes, cool, man. I completely disagree with the common narrative.
Yeah.
Around that. There's probably a few places for you and knowing you. I mean, I know there's a few that are off the top of my head, but anything that you think of kind of pops out for you where you're like, I just don't go along with the masses on this.
Well, it's the big one is how success is created.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Because human nature, as human beings, we know that a strategy will give us what we want.
Yeah.
Right. We know. We know eventually. So we know it's a strategy, an action.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we end up all our time chasing actions.
Yeah.
And what I've learned from years and years of trying and failing and trying and failing, that, you know, goal setting and breaking it down backwards only works to this level. If you want to live in the world of 10X, if you want to live in the world of 10X results, number one, you can. You just have to shift into the reality where it happens.
Right.
And most people don't do that because most people are so focused on strategy. And I watch Brandon Turner on the Bigger Pockets podcast, and he writes real estate book after real estate book after real estate book over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And is everybody a millionaire real estate investor? No. Because he's kicking out real estate investor mindset strategies, 150, 300.
Yeah.
And if you have a version one real estate investor mindset, how is a version 50 strategy going to run?
Not even going to connect.
It's not going to run. So, and the emotions that we feel as human beings are the indicators of mindset alignment.
Mm.
And most people downplay them. And what I found is that, you know, most people are aiming far too small because I'd say 98% of the people on the planet, what they're going to do next is a repeat of what they just did, give or take a 1-3% variance, because aiming at 5X or 10X is so scary that they just shut down.
Yeah.
which is funny because as Americans, if you knew that success was work 20 hours a day for 6 months, you'd be like, done.
Yeah, let's go.
We're not afraid of hard work.
Yeah, totally.
So we end up backing off bigger targets because of the emotional mismatch from the targets.
Got it. That makes sense. What is a, what do you think of Grant Cardone's 10X kind of stuff? Have you read any of that stuff?
I haven't really. I don't read books anymore. Okay. I haven't read a book in 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, maybe three. And the primary reason I'm doing that is because I'm it muddies what's going what's coming through me.
What's coming out?
Yeah.
Don't want to throw a monkey wrench in it.
I don't want to throw a monkey. The only person I really follow is Matt Kahn, who's kind of a spiritual speaker.
Okay.
But that's where most people have backwards is like your reality is created by you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything
you already know. You already know.
Yeah. And you can be in perfect alignment with, you can be in the mindset alignment with the reality you want and still in the process of life bringing it to you.
Yeah. So you think if you got people that are quote unquote following a whole bunch of other, a whole bunch of people, do you think it ends up muddy in the waters for a lot of people?
Some people integrate them well, some people.
And some people have a hard time with it. I can make
because they start to, what I find is a lot of people look to mentors and books to try to figure out why their strategies aren't working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're getting other people's perspectives on what worked in their journey.
Yeah. Yep.
And it may be applicable to their experience, but not necessarily.
But it might not. And it might, I can see how that could be almost conflicting on things too. Right. And so if somebody is wanting to get in good shape, right. And then they're like, okay, so I'm going to read this, this book by David Goggins, and David Goggins is out running 42,000 miles a week. Right. And so it's like, cool, man, I'm going to do that. Yeah. And then I'm also going to go over here and look at Paul Carter stuff. And Paul Carter is lifting massively heavy weights 3 times a week. Do I do both? Do I do right? But you're looking at completely different guys, completely different goals, completely different, modes of operation. And people try to take from here, combine them all together, and it just muddies the water. They're like, I'm not sure which way to go with it. And what ends up happening is a whole lot of nothing. It's either inaction or it's ineffective action, right? And it's just confusion.
Or a lot of forced action and that doesn't work. So we basically take those people and pull them out and be like, who and where you are is okay.
Right, yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Yep.
What's exciting? Like most people just downplay excitement. Excitement is like the best indicator of intuition.
Yeah, it's telling you.
Follow it.
It's telling you something.
Follow the excitement.
That's awesome, man. So let's say, God comes down. He's like, all right, man, it's February. It's February 8th. It's February 9th, Jason. You're done, just so you know. I know you thought you were going to Texas, dude, but it's all done. Wife and kids are still going. You're all set, sir.
Okay.
Okay. So, but you get to leave them a little, put the headstone in and they'll take a picture of that before they take off. And what do you want on that headstone, man? Is there a go-to kind of quote or thought, or whether it's yours, somebody else's, what does that legacy look like for you?
I actually have no idea. No idea. I see a lot of people talk about legacy.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've got too much to do right now than worry about what's going to happen when I'm gone.
Yeah.
So I honestly don't know.
Just head down and just
go. Just go for it. Yeah. Swing for the fences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, swinging slower doesn't make it easier to get a hit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So I'd say swing for the fences would be.
I love it, man. I think we've only had one other person. It was interesting because we were right here in this room too. I think there was only one other person we ever had, which was also one of my favorite episodes too. And he's like, I'm not really worried about legacy. I'm just doing what I do. I'm just going.
Yeah.
I like that. So cool, man. All right. So where would you have people go to figure out what you're doing if they want to connect with you? Where do people go to check out what's kind of going down?
They can go to my website, Jason Dries Coaching. It's like trees, but with a D, Dries Coaching.
That's right.
I'm also on Instagram, put a lot of stuff out there. That's the easiest way to find me.
That's awesome, man. So rad. Yeah, Driesy. So I got a daughter, Brielle, right? And we always talk to her about, we call her Breezy. And so we always say, hey, man, if this ends up working out over here with this guy, he might be Breezy Driesy. So, I would not be opposed, man, because I love you guys, love what you guys are doing. Bummed that you guys are leaving for Texas. Also excited that you guys are leaving for Texas and that you guys are doing. And I know we're still very much linked in that journey too with all that's going on. So I'm just excited, man. I'm excited for you. These are conversations I want to be able to continue to still have.
Yeah.
Because this is all my favorite stuff, man.
Yeah, and I can talk for hours. So yeah, you didn't even talk to me about limiting beliefs and framing. We haven't talked about that. So
I think it's probably mostly because I think we might have to just do another episode. Honestly, mostly it's because I got a meeting too in a little bit that I'm gonna have to end up going to. But yeah, this is rad, especially as we go down, you know, the how to eliminate those limiting beliefs before they even get in there with these younger folks, you know. I mean, that is that mission too, man. So super pumped, brother.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's like this, yeah, interesting expansion.
Yeah, dude, no doubt. We're gonna have to talk a little more. Maybe we'll do the next one out in Austin.
Yes, definitely.
All right, there you go, man. Head to jasondreescoaching.com to learn more about Jay. Look forward to having those books out as well. And then, of course, thank you for listening to Essential 11. Please continue to comment, share, keep spreading the word on what we were doing, and we'll catch you guys next time.